house into the studio today. We thought, you know what? There's always an opportunity to introduce you to people that have great stories, that are doing amazing work. And it's high time that we share those people with you. So this week is no different. I'm very excited to introduce you to my guest today. She, you know, I met her a couple of weeks ago at a Women's Day function. And you know when like someone's energy is just correct? You know, she greeted me. She gave me this really great hug. I was like, oh, I feel so welcome here. So I feel also very, very lucky to have her on the show as well. And I'm talking about a lady by the name of Sanele Mlambo. And she is, yo, like, I was just telling her now that her CV is so impressive. And you know when people are being like humble, like, no, don't say that. It is so impressive. She's done so many amazing things. Right now, she's a marketing strategist and the head of marketing at Impact Group. But if I was to tell you every little thing that this woman has accomplished, we would be here for about 4 weeks. So without any further discussion, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I don't want to, you know, take this away from you. I want you to share with the audience who you are, where your journey began, and how it is you got to where you are right now.
Excited to be here. Obviously, as she's mentioned, my name is Sanele Mlambo, from KZN. I was born and bred in Newcastle and moved to Joburg in 2000. I'm a daughter. I've got four siblings, family of seven. Very close with my sisters. My mother was very strict, guys. I must tell you, my mother was very strict, but my dad was just so humble, so soft. So that balanced the two of them. So yeah, so I'm the last born in the family. Actually right now when you look at me, you don't say it, because then I just want to lead people. I just want to contribute and make a difference. But yeah, so that's really who I am.
Sure. That's an introduction. I mean, KZN, when I think about KZN in the year 2000, it feels like a very long time ago.
Definitely.
and a lot has changed since then. A lot has happened since then. I mean, you know, just being a woman in business, mm-hmm. as well, a working woman, that must have also, you know, played a big role in your growth and yeah. your evolution and in your career. So, you mentioned that you're close with your siblings. A family of seven. You know, firstly, sure. Okay.
And five girls.
Five girls. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that is so nice. Yeah. What kind of impact did growing up with like your sisters and having that closeness with them have on, you know, your approach to work? You know, yeah. that must have really like shaped a lot of how you do things.
Definitely. So I must tell you a story. So as I mentioned that my mother was very strict, right? So when somebody gets a hiding, all of us used to get a hiding.
Oh wow.
So whatever that we did together. And that is what made us so close. Mm. You know, so because we actually were just like doing everything together, and we knew once somebody does something, we're all gonna get it. And it was just that. And even now, I really don't have friends. My sisters are my friends. Aww. Which is so nice. I really feel sorry for my daughter because she doesn't have that. Yeah. Because she's the only child. But yeah, so for me, that really shaped the woman I am. Even when I go through stuff, I know that I can pick up a call. I've got four soldiers who are gonna be with me and wow. just doing the stuff with me. So I'm really, really blessed.
That is like so beautiful. When I think about, you know, just the idea of having that kind of support structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is so deep and it's so important.
Yeah.
And it can really make or break your experience of things. You know, knowing that you're going into something that could be foreign to you, but having your soldiers with you go in there so much stronger. You go in there confident. You feel like you can take over the world.
Definitely. You must hear how our daughters, because funny enough, we also have got daughters. Mm. I think in the family, there's only two boys. It's like a lot of girls.
Mm.
And they really talk about how they envy the relationship that we have, because yeah. when somebody is not around, the other person takes over. Like we are the moms. Mm. They call us Big Five. Because and when a child has done something wrong, all of us will be there, because now we've really inherited our mom's strictness, which has really changed over the years for me in terms of how I'm really teaching my daughter. Because there are some things that were good that I saw from my mom, but there are things as well where I'm like, oh, she was a bit strict here. She should have just done things differently.
Sure, yeah. sure. But I mean, at the same time, you know, the way we raised kind of, it obviously shapes us, but the beautiful thing about it is that we can take the few things from it and apply it to how we want to then raise our kids. You know, we don't have to copy paste.
Exactly.
Because maybe not everything works.
Exactly.
You know, maybe some of those things they can stay in errors.
Definitely. And you can see yourself as well. Like I can see myself when I'm being my mom. Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, I'm now the strict mom.
Yeah.
Let me tone it down a bit, you know, so that I can accommodate it. Because really how I was raised is different to how I'm raising my daughter.
Sure.
Like the times have changed. You know, things have moved on, and the way things are done now, they're no longer the same. So I've really learned to change. And one thing that I actually wanted to just talk about, because then as I was moving with my career, I then had to move and move to Cape Town to work for one big retail company.
Mm.
And my daughter really took a knock because she was then bullied at school.
Mm.
And I remember just thinking, shame, I have to go back home. So I actually was gone for 10 months and I was like, no, I have to go back and just be there for her.
Mm.
And that really, really impacted her and it negatively.
Yeah.
And then when I came back after like years later, then that's when they were like, no, she's got anxiety. And you know, when I grew up, we didn't understand what anxiety is.
Yeah, no.
What is that? No clue.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad that you mentioned that because I wanted to touch on a little bit about your career stuff and, you know, all of your experience, you know. Like I mentioned, it's a very, very colorful CV. I mean, you've got a background spanning retail, entertainment, gaming, advertising, even financial services.
Yes.
You know, you've got a unique skill, which is set catering to both B2C and B2B markets. Like people like that barely exist anymore.
Yeah.
You've worked in industries, you know, like Tsukhosan, Econ, Hollard, Woolworths, Financial Services. The list is endless. How did you pull this off and still be a present mother to ensure that the kids are fine? You know, when they need you, you're there for them. Because this is a lot. This must have taken a lot of your time.
Yeah.
How did you pull that off?
I must be honest, I don't know how. That is the truth. But I think one has to actually be intentional. I think for me in my life, I've always really believed that you must be intentional in whatever you're doing.
Mm.
So I, from very early age, I knew that I wanted to be in marketing. That was another thing. So I feel like my life was destined to be where it needs to be. So I knew. Mm. And I understood that I needed to actually also balance, because having a family and working was never easy. I remember actually when I was in Cape Town, because I left both my ex-husband and my daughter behind. And that was a difficult decision.
Mm.
And I had to actually think about it and say, okay, so the plan was that they were going to join me. But things just didn't work out in Cape Town. I was like, okay, I need to go back home.
Mm.
And there I was now having to make a call to say, okay, career, while we want to balance, but family needs me as well. Mm. I was lucky enough to then come back and still find a job in at Tsukhosan. So, yeah. So it's about being intentional and understanding that it's a balance. You need to balance. That's 100%. Really what it is.
I love the fact that you use the word intentional.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a word we use on the show every single week, because what is life if not intent?
Yeah.
What is life without it? You
know,
if you don't actually make a conscious decision to participate in something or to want to improve your ways or to anything, then you'll just kind of just be flowing.
Exactly.
You know, so I love that you brought that work up. So that word up. So you have a 23-year-old daughter.
Yes.
Her name is Zama.
Yes.
You know, I've always loved the name Zama.
Yeah.
I always say to myself, if ever I get a chance, I must
call
name
my child
one
Zama.
Of my many children will be Zama. So how did her upbringing shape your way of, you know, seeing the world? You know, when you look at her childhood, her teenagers. I mean, now she's 23.
Yeah.
So you've done all of the other heavy lifting. Now you've kind of just let her fly.
Yes.
You know, when you look at her today and you think about all the many sacrifices that you had to make for her back in the day, and you know how just how you raised her and how she grew up as a concept, what are your thoughts?
I think once again you look back and you say, sure, I wish this child had siblings. You know, I think for me, I go back to that to say, shame, I wish she had siblings. But nevertheless, because she was the only child, then I became overprotective, right?
Sure.
So because she's the only child, and I'm like, oh, so she's like an egg. But at the same time, my mother's traits came in where I'm strict. So there was that whole thing of saying, I am strict, but yet I need to actually make sure that she's got a future that is bright, and she understands that she must work hard. That is one thing that I've always taught her, to say, you need to understand you've got yourself. You've got yourself, so you need to work hard and make sure that your dreams, you must follow your dreams.
Always.
That is one thing that I've always taught her. Mm. She must always follow dreams, do what she wants to do. Forget about everyone else. Do what makes you happy. And that's how I've really raised her. And she is an amazing, beautiful little girl. I still call her a little girl.
She's
a young
girl.
Woman now. She is my little girl. I still say, funny, yesterday she was sending me a message when she got to work. She's like, Mom, I arrived safe. I'm like, I'm glad, Nana. You know, and I'm like, yo, she's 23.
She'll always be Nana in your eyes.
She'll always be Nana in my eyes. But she's just this young woman who is just, like, I look at her and I'm like, she went through so much. And I remember when she was doing her matric in 2018, and that's when she was diagnosed with anxiety and depression.
Sure.
So she didn't write her matric then. And she then only wrote one subject, and the following year she had to now study on her own. So we had to get a tutor. Unbeknown to us that she was being prepared for COVID, because now, so she finished her matric now on her own. She wrote in June and she passed. Then she had to go to varsity. Now she's excited. She's in varsity. And then come COVID. It was like 2020. Now there is COVID.
Yeah.
And she excelled at varsity. So she actually graduated this year. And I look at her and I'm like, look at this. Once again, it's like there is a destiny. She was destined to be there.
100%.
Yeah.
If Zama were to call you today and say, hey, Mom, so I've decided that I've chosen my career path and I want to be an artist.
Yeah.
I want to sing and make music and be famous. That's what I want to do. I want to be a social media influencer. I want to do a YouTube channel, and that's what's going to keep me afloat. Honestly, how would you react? Because I hear a lot of parents are like, yeah, my kids could do whatever they want to do. Gaba sapota, hey. And then comes the hour when the child says, okay, well, Mom, Dad, I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be an accountant. I want to be a creative. You know, usually parents freak out.
Yeah.
So if someone were to call you today, honestly, Sanela, how would you react?
I think, knowing what I know now, I would say go for it.
Sure.
Knowing what I know now, I would say go for it. I was raised by a teacher and a nurse. And all my sisters actually are either teachers or nurses. So I'm the only odd one out.
Yeah.
But it's about what you want at the end of the day. Because I would choose a career for her and then she hates it.
Wabo?
So let her do what she wants.
Yeah.
That's really my advice.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
And that's very honest.
Yeah.
I remember I was speaking at a graduation ceremony at Boston Media House. I was the guest speaker then.
Yes.
I was speaking to the graduates, and
yes,
a lot of the people that were there were the parents in the audience.
Yeah.
So I was saying to them, you know, you guys grew up in a time where your career choices were either only teacher or nurse or policeman,
yes,
policewoman. Ronache, we've got options. You know,
exactly.
We live in a time where there's so many other things that we want to do. And as parents, please allow your children to express themselves. Do you know how many parents came up to me after my speech?
Yeah.
And were like, you know, you've just opened my eyes.
Yes.
You've made me realize how hard I've been on my kids,
exactly,
because I've been trying to push them into one direction.
Yep. Yep.
But after listening to you today, I realized that I just need to let them do their thing.
Let them do their thing.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Let them do their thing. Because I think most parents, we want to fulfill our dreams through our children, right? maybe I didn't get a chance to be a doctor, so now I want my child to be a doctor.
Sure.
Let them follow their dreams.
Yeah, 100%. It'll make life so much easier. Well,
yep.
We're still going to figure out, those of us whose children are still growing.
Yep.
So, Sanela, you're the marketing head at Impact Group.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds like a bit of a hectic job.
Yeah.
Does your daughter have any idea, like, what you do on a day-to-day? Does she know that, okay, Mom wakes up at this time, she deals with this team, or is she just like, whatever you're doing, you have my support?
I think I'm going back to the intentions. I actually, before she got this job, I used to take it to work. I wanted her to see what I do. I wanted her to get an understanding.
Sure.
But also I was preparing her for the workplace, because now she just started a job.
Yeah.
So I wanted her to see and actually start to connect the dots as well, to say, when you get to work, how do you behave?
Sure.
Because Mom at home and Mom at work, two different people.
Sure.
So let's have a look and see how Mom is when she's at work, who is not the mother that you see every day.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, she's got an idea.
That's good. So you almost like bring your daughter to work day. You did it intentionally.
Yeah. I wanted her to see it. I wanted her to actually experience it. Funny, this morning she says to me, Mom, my boss actually said to me, I need to impress her because she's doing an internship.
Yeah.
So if I succeed, then I'm going to have this job. I said, let me give you an advice. just ask questions.
Yeah.
Ask your boss, what does she need?
Yeah.
It's not about you, it's about her. So I think if somebody gave me that advice, I guess I'd be far.
Wow, who's to say you're not far? Because from where I'm sitting, you are pretty far. She's so lucky.
Yeah.
She's so lucky to actually have the kind of parent that would think that far.
Yeah.
You know, as far as guidance.
Yeah.
And even in the workspace where most parents would leave their children to learn alone. You know, you're saying, let me show you the ropes. Let me help you.
It's important.
I think that is so cool. Like,
it's
what important. A head start.
Yeah.
You know, no, parents out there listening, take notes. So, Sanele, your focus is advertising, strategic planning, brand management, project execution, as well as direct marketing. That's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your typical day at Impact Group Moments. Yeah. Like, you know, once you've had your first cup of coffee or tea, what does the rest of the day look like for you? Because I remember being there for the Women's Day event and seeing so many women. Like, there were a lot. I think there were over 200 people at that event. I was looking around and I was like, this is a lot of people.
Yeah.
So what does an average day look like for you, you know, in managing the work that you do at Impact?
It's a lot, eh? Funny, yesterday I was saying I came to do something and I ended up doing something else. So it changes on day to day, but it really involves planning. It's planning the days. It's planning the events that we do. It's really sitting with our internal clients, as I call them. We've got three divisions within Impact. We've got a food division, we've got cleaning, and we've got facilities. They all have got needs. They've got clients that we need to satisfy. So the briefs come to me. This is the campaign we need. This is what we need. So my team and I, we sit together and we plan. It's really mostly the planning and checking the emails, making sure that things are working.
Sure. You make it sound so easy. It's like, yeah, the brief lands.
It's not that easy. Okay, I must tell you. There are times where actually I have to go back to people and say, sorry, you're not going to get that job in a week. You're going to get it into, because there's so many other things. So it's really about finding a balance, you know, and making sure that, and that's why we plan. Because if we plan, then at least we know there will be things that will come and we must now juggle, but it's not every day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sanele, I'm so curious, like from what I'm hearing, so there's obviously your team that you manage and work with very closely.
Yes.
Do you think you got an advantage by growing up around
girls,
number one, because obviously girls run the world, we all know that. But having a supportive set of sisters, because that essentially is a team.
It is.
Do you think that helped you in any way?
Definitely. That I will definitely agree. Because as I said, when one is not there, the other one takes off. It takes over.
Yeah.
And there's the planning and delegation of tasks as well. Because there's five of you, then this one is going to do this. I remember, shame, my other sister, she was actually very naughty. Because when I was like 9 years old, my mom taught me how to cook. Okay. But I was still not good.
Mm.
So my sister, who is 4 years older than me, would say, okay, so give me your 5 rand so that I can cook for you, so that mom won't see. So there was that corruption there.
She sounds like an entrepreneur.
But we are actually very close even today, because she was like seeing that shame. This one is still young, so let me help her, but she must pay. So she taught me that you work for whatever.
I love that. Learning such good skills from a young age.
Exactly.
I think if you have siblings and older siblings at that, you're going to get crooked at one or other point.
Yes.
It's inevitable. It'll happen.
Definitely.
Your things will get stolen. Your things will get taken. But there's always like a bigger lesson.
Exactly. But there's also a supporter in there. Because I remember, so you heard I spoke about being, they call us big five.
Yeah.
So my mother, because she said we're too many, she'll call us by numbers. So I'm number five. So number two was always a protector. So when number four and number three were fighting and taking my things, she'll be the one who's like, no, leave it. It's for the baby. So I was the baby too.
I'm laughing at having to call you by number.
Yeah.
You know, there was that thing growing up where your parents would forget your name. They'd start confusing you. I'm at that phase now where like I'm also starting to confuse my kids.
Oh, wow. How old are they?
Oh, so my first boys are 11 and 9.
Oh.
And then my daughters are 3, 2 and 1.
Oh, sweet man.
So it's
all
the girls.
Sweet man. Also, like, you also. I mean, which one is this one now?
I mean, And they even like, geez, mom, can you just remember?
Right? Exactly.
So I'm actually, the numbers worked.
Even my mother's friends, that even now, people are still saying, oh, number five.
It's like, that is so funny. I love that. That's hilarious, man. Yeah. Sure. So suddenly, can you give us like an overview of the final cut? I mean, this is Impact's internal skills development program, which is for chefs. And it also highlights some of the key skills and knowledge areas that it aims to enhance among the culinary team members. So there's a lot of catering-esque and advanced stuff that you guys are involved in, which I think is so cool because, I mean, everybody thinks they can cook. Yep. As you just mentioned, you got taught by the age of nine, but you knew you suck at it. Some people still think they're good at it.
Yeah.
So it seems like you guys know exactly what you're doing. So tell us more about the final cut.
Yes. So the final cut actually is our annual, it's a national annual chef's competition.
Oh, lovely.
So my boss, Alan Quinn, I have to just say, he's doing an amazing job. He's about people.
Yeah.
So this competition is really about also skills development and actually empowering our staff as well. So it's a national competition. We get to actually get different chefs who are going to compete within their regions. They would then, we select three from each region. So we are in KZN, we're in Joburg, and we're in Cape Town. So then the 369 of those chefs will come now for a final competition where they're going to cook off. And they are really judged on the quality of the food, how it tastes, their innovation. So it's quite a, it's an intense, you know how a MasterChef is?
Yes.
So it's a similar concept.
Oh.
So they are now under pressure and you've got judges who are just not playing. Hey, they are really giving them these tasks and they must just showcase what they do. At the end of the competition, the winner walks away with 25,000 rand.
Oh, lovely.
Which is an amazing thing. So we really want to empower our people as Impact. But we've got over 25,000 employees. So you must know it's a big workforce, right? It's huge. So we really want them to feel that they are part of a company that is progressive, that is empowering them.
25,000 employees. That is a lot of people.
It's a lot, eh? And 70% of that are females. So we are really intentional about empowering women. We want women to be empowered. We want our people, we want to make an impact in the communities as well that we live in. Think about it. If you've got 25,000 employees, the communities that they come from, we are making an impact through employment as well.
And when you think about the role that women play in these very same communities, these aren't just but Ofela, walking by, you know, these are women that are making marks. They're
adding
raising
value.
The children. Yep. They're adding value. They're building and growing the communities.
Exactly.
So I'm actually very happy that this is the stance that you guys have taken. You know, it's actually reminding me of the day that I met you. I think you're Alan, you said?
Alan Quinn, yes. Our
CEO. Was there, nah?
He was there. He welcomed the woman.
This man is so
his energy.
Funny.
And his energy. Oh. He is just amazing.
No, he really is. Like, he got on stage.
Yes.
And he just started talking to everyone and he introduced himself. Yep. And I think we laughed for at least 30 minutes.
No, he's awesome. He really
so
is
great.
Awesome. No, he's awesome. It's great to have leadership that is about people.
Sure.
For me, that is really what makes my stay at Impact. So I love what I do.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like I'm doing a job, right? Yeah. It feels like I'm adding value. Our slogan says we want to do right. Yeah. We are on a journey. We're on a journey to do best and be the best.
Yeah.
And we want to do right to our people, to our communities, to our clients, and also to the planet as well.
Yeah. That is so inspiring. So, Sanaya, a lot of companies are increasingly focused on corporate social investment programs. I mean, every second or third company will have some sort of CSI thing that they're doing. What are some of the key initiatives that Impact has undertaken in this area? I mean, you've already mentioned how intentional you guys are about hiring a certain percentage of women and, you know, just being a company that is about its people and growing the communities, etc. But can you tell us a bit more about the causes that Impact is involved in?
Yeah. So we describe the impact of our social relevance and social investment in our phrase that when we say we care, doing right by you.
Yeah.
So I spoke about the community as one of that. So under the CSI element, we actually focus on the enterprise development, we focus on social, corporate social investment, and then sustainability. So there are three NGOs that we've actually selected to say we want to partner with them because we understand that their vision and our vision is aligned. So one of them is Tears Foundation,
okay,
which also came on the Women's Day as well.
Yeah.
So Tears Foundation, they focus on intervention that addresses GBV. So
yes,
that's what they do.
Yes.
Then we've got Meth Center. So Meth Center really is about addressing the meth literacy and numeracy skills, especially in the communities that need the help. Last year for Nelson Mandela Day, we went to Timbisa, where we painted the schools.
Yeah.
And not just painting the schools. It was about numeracy, like teaching them the formulas and putting them there so that the kids understand.
Sure.
You know, because maths is not easy, right? I suck at maths, but hey. So these
many
kids
of
now,
us do.
Many of us do, right? But these kids actually now get to see the formulas on the walls. They get to understand what it is. Then the third organization that we partner with is Live Village. So Live Village is also doing an amazing work. So we chose them for this year's Nelson Mandela Day, where we went to their villages. They are in Cape Town, Durban, and here in Joburg. So our staff went for 2 days, may I add, Nelson Mandela Day and a day before, where we really transformed the place. We painted, we spent time with the kids, we did garden. We really wanted to make an impact, and we make a financial donation as well, because we understand that these communities that we live in, they need the assistance.
Yeah.
So if we find NGOs who really are making an impact, let us add value by actually giving back to them as well.
Sure. You know, I've come to believe, Sanele, that CSI work is not just work that is needed on the one Mandela Day.
Exactly.
This work is needed
sustainability,
throughout.
Right?
Exactly.
We need to be there. And that's a nice thing that we actually have identified, to say we won't just go there for Nelson Mandela Day and clean and leave the money. So throughout. So these are the organizations that we are saying it's a long-term a relationship. One of our values is partnership, right?
Yeah.
So if it's a partnership relationship, what else can we do together to make an impact and make a difference in the community? So we even now, some of our staff members, they bring their clothes, we take it there. So it's not just a once-off thing.
100%. I love that. I wish more and more companies can almost be honest with themselves
about the what are we doing?
Nenzani.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Are we actually making an impact, or are we just ticking boxes?
Exactly. Just because we want a point, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's really not about the points. It's about making a difference and adding value. So that's why for us, it's really important when we say we care, we must show that we care. We mustn't just say it. People must feel that we care.
Oh, I love that. And people will always remember how you make them feel.
That's it.
Always. That's like
it.
My life motto.
Yeah.
Like
it's not what
you
say, but how you made me feel.
Exactly. Exactly. Sanele, can you share some specific examples of, you know, some of the success stories from your CSI programs, you know, especially maybe something that will highlight the skill building opportunities that, you know, that add value to the communities, to the individuals, and how these skills have translated to become meaningful improvements and really value adding, you know, testimonies, I guess, that they can use for the rest of their lives and not just in that moment.
Not just in that moment.
Yeah.
Okay. So another aspect then on our social impact and relevance is our ESD focus, right? So we believe that ESD is an investment with a purpose. Mm. So we've partnered with different SMMEs. I can mention like two for now. So Khayelitsha Cookies is a local bakery, which is in Cape Town.
Okay.
So when we actually started with them, there were four women that were in this program, right? So we trained them, taught them how to bake and gave them the skills. And actually, we also donated a car to Khayelitsha Cookies to say,
wow,
here is a car that you can use. You do your deliveries, do what you need to do.
Mm.
We are very proud that today we've got 86 people that are now employed at Khayelitsha Cookies.
Wow.
So those are the stories that really are making us to actually say we are making a difference.
That
we
is.
Are making an impact in the communities that we live in.
Mm.
So Khayelitsha, we've got a long-standing relationship with them. They supply us even now with biscuits at our different units. You know, they are in hospitals that we are in, and they supply there. Another one is Queen's Bakery as well. So Queen's Bakery, we started with them. Also, we donated a car, started there and said, here is a car. Let's see what we need to do. Now and again, we bring them for training because it's important that we empower them.
Sure.
We give them the skills. So we are training with them as well to say, Branding, when they need branding, we do it because we need to make sure that there's sustainability in what we do. It's not just a once-off thing and ticking the boxes to say, yes, we are doing something, let's get some points. It's about making a difference. So for us, and I'm really grateful, Alan is one person that is about that.
Yeah.
He is very intentional about making a difference in the communities.
I feel like next time you must just bring Alan.
I will. Funny. And that's why before this interview, I actually phoned him. It would be so nice to have him because he is just amazing. I'm really happy if you guys can have him. He is just. And his energy is just, it's infectious,
that
right?
That energy was out. I was experiencing a lot of things on that day. And one of the things I won't forget is his energy was just, you know, it's difficult for a man to hold the attention of a room full of women. But he had us all in the park. Of his hands because he was so good and so pure
and engaging, right?
So engaging, he was just speaking from his heart.
That's
always so much better than
everything else.
I love it. So, Nana, what is the future of Impact looking like? And it sounds like you have pretty much.